The Walking Leader Podcast, episode number 59. Hi, everybody. I'm David Guerra. Welcome back. It is the Walking Leader Podcast, and I am your host, David Guerra. I just said that. And welcome back. We're continuing our Bad Leaders Aren't series. We're up to number 14 in that series. And we're going to dive right in. This episode is about the manager, the boss, the bad leader that manages remotely. Imagine you're sitting at your desk and your boss calls a meeting. However, the problem is your boss is 400 miles away and he's always been 400 miles away. You haven't seen your boss physically in over a year. Sure, you've talked to him on the phone. You've answered his emails. You've spoken to him or seen him through video conferencing. But have you actually, when was the last time you actually shook his hand? You know, it happens. They're out there. Trust me, they are out there. You know, this is the same guy that or gal that expects you to follow the rules and he passes them down to you because that's what bosses, leaders, managers, directors, that's what they do. They pass stuff down from higher up down to you and they expect you to follow it. But you ask yourself, how can he manage you? How can he manage anybody when he's 400 miles away? And you ask yourself, how can I be led effectively? How can I be an asset to the organization if my boss is 400 miles away? Sure. I mean, you're a trusted employee, but at some point he or she's going to want you to do something. And it's a little disconcerting knowing that your supervisor is a long way away. And the only managing he does or she does is by telephone, email, or video conferencing. It's insane, but it does happen. It really does happen. And how do I know this or why does this bother me? Well, because it happened to me. See, my last supervisor, when I was working for the state of Texas, the agency that I was working for, supervised me by remote control. Trust me, that made my decision to leave the agency a little bit easier. It really was. And it's not, don't get me wrong. I mean, I love my job. I really did. I had it for 17 years. I did it for 17 years. There were no major complaints. Obviously, everybody complains, but there were no major complaints. I had no major write-ups. I had no write-ups. It was all, you know, it was good. I loved it. I loved the people that I work with. I mean, I enjoyed working with them. You know, some more than others and some definitely less than others. But for the most part, I enjoyed working with the people that I work with. They were awesome. But I just couldn't, there was just no, how do you say it? Well, I just could not stand that laissez-faire approach to managing that my manager, my supervisor, my quote-unquote leader was given. And I just couldn't deal with that. And it wasn't just me. It was just my cohorts, my peers that were at the same position that I was doing, but that they were doing it throughout the state. Now, the state of Texas is huge. It's big. If you've never been to Texas, you just don't know. If you've ever driven from one point of Texas to the other, say from Houston or entering from Louisiana on Interstate 10 all the way to New Mexico and through Houston, San Antonio, El Paso, and then out to New Mexico, that's like forever. It is forever. It just goes. And the same thing from Brownsville all the way up to Dallas or Amarillo. It's a state just never ends. So my peers, my contemporaries, my cohorts, they were scattered throughout the state because of the nature of our business. We had multiple locations, or the nature of the agency that I work for has multiple locations throughout the state of Texas. And that's fine. That's great. But to manage them and to lead them effectively, I just saw no need, no real value in managing at that far of a distance. Now, I just didn't appreciate the fact that when I needed someone to turn to, especially those that were supposed to be my next level up superiors, they were not there. Sure, it might sound fun and exciting to be on your own and to be trusted by your superiors, which is great. I mean, I'm luckily achieved that level of trust and they understood and professionalism because I did my job. But on the reverse end, you know, there's a chain of command, there's a ladder, there's a career ladder, there's a structure of who is who on the organizational chart. And when there's this huge gap, it looks great on paper. It's just one level down on paper or one level up on paper. But nowhere on that paper does it truly accurately represent that there's, 360 miles between my name and the next person's name on that list. There's nothing that shows that. The reality shows it, but again, there's nothing that can bridge that on a piece of paper. And so I needed to turn to someone, or if I ever needed to turn to someone, let's just say what happens when something happens and your only course of action is to turn to your superior who is not physically present. Sure, other people get that opportunity at the sites that we were responsible for, that, there's a site facility administrator, and then there's all the other support staff below it. And that's fine. They get their supervisor right there. The first thing you do is you have to make voice contact. And then once you make voice contact and you figure out what the course of action is, there's still at least one day of travel before making face-to-face contact with you. And it can be a bit unsettling, especially when there's other projects, other things going on in other parts of the states that attention is taken away. And there's no contingency for the unexpected. And I'm not talking like hurricanes or tornadoes or bad weather unexpected. I'm talking about they're all up in North Texas dealing with issues, and then all of a sudden somebody cuts a fiber in deep South Texas. The fiber cable's cut, and now all the facilities in South Texas are isolated. They cannot communicate by phone. They cannot communicate by email. They cannot communicate only through cell phone. That becomes unsettling, especially when you can't get the support you need to get things under control and get them up and running. So I'm speaking from first-person interaction or first-person view because it happened to me. I was put in those situations, and that's fine. That's what I signed up for. I am not complaining. My thing is that having remote staff should be kept at a minimum, at a very bare minimum, and it should also be supervised. They should also be supervised by those individuals that know how to supervise them. And I'm getting ahead of myself. How can you avoid becoming this manager, this individual who remotely manages others? Well, when you sign up for things, at all cost, do what you can to avoid having a remote staff. I mean, sure, it's going to happen. You're going to have little satellite offices and stuff like that. 100 miles tops, 100 miles from where you're based. Let's just say 100 miles. And that's good because you can still make a day trip out of it, and something flares up. You can be there in about an hour and a half, depending on where you're at. And I say that because, there's interstates and jump on it. Speed limit 75. So, there you go. An hour and a half. But it won't be an issue if it's less than 100 miles. It won't be an issue if everybody you support, especially for first-time managers and supervisors and leaders, you want to keep your people close. That's how you become better, because you're dealing with them on a day-to-day basis. And let's see. But if you're being forced to supervise someone who is more than 100 miles away, well, then find out what it takes to make constant and consistent face-to-face communication the standard. Well, in state agencies, there's no money for travel. There never is. But yet it has to be done. It's got to get done. It's got to get taken care of. Work with somebody. Figure out, look, this is the deal. Here's the situation. And here's how you're going to be an effective leader. Here's how you're going to be a great leader to those people that are way out there. Here's kind of the couple of things I recommend you do, especially if you supervise people that are more than 100 miles away. Or 150, or whatever suits you. You figure out that one breaking point where, I can't drive more than 200 miles a day one way. Okay, because again, that's 400 miles round trip in a day. That's not going to cut it for some people. And again, I'm speaking in Texas. I'm not speaking of, say, Vermont. I'm not speaking of New Hampshire. I'm not speaking of Washington State, okay, or Oregon. But I'm speaking of Texas, I'm speaking of California, those bigger states. So again, this goes out to you. Now, if you must supervise someone who is more than 100 miles away, like I said earlier, communicate by telephone at least once a day. Use video conferencing as often and as much as possible. I mean, you just that's part of what you're doing. Build it into your schedule. And obviously, of course, I mentioned it already. It might be a financial issue to your organization, but you know what? It's worth it. Schedule regular visits to those sites and keep them. Keep them regular so people can expect to know that you're going to be there on that day. Say the second Monday of every month, that's where you're at. The third Thursday of every month, that's where you're at. And it's standard. It's written in stone. Keep it. Make it happen. And pretty soon it just becomes part of life. It becomes part of your life, becomes part of their life. And they don't feel like, you know, they're 100 miles away. But seriously, if this is your first time up to bat in leadership, fight having a remote staff at all costs. Fight it. Fight it. Now, there is an unless, and I kind of touched on this just a second ago. There is an unless. Unless you have been a supervisor, manager, department head, section manager for quite a long time, then I say go for it. And why? Because yes, experience matters in this situation. Wisdom to see through the fog of distance and the ability to handle remote situations. Someone who's got that tenure, someone who's got that experience, and someone who has that wisdom and can employ all of that at the same time can actually be quite an effective leader of remote staff. Also, if your remote staff is being led by great leaders, that also helps makes the distance a little easier. And I just said that. It helps. It really does. And I don't want to go into this, and I don't want to say, well, you're first timers, you're not great. Everybody's a great leader, especially those that step up and say, hey, I want to be a leader, but be greater and have that experience and have that tenure and have that wisdom under your belt so you can deal with it. Now, what I'm really trying to say is for you first timers is prepare to work your way to a position that allows you to manage and supervise remote staff. You want to have that under your belt because, again, if they thrive, it's because you're letting them thrive and they are doing good things. And they are also communicating with you and they are sharing with you and they are talking to you and it's a dialogue. And you're not just a monologue monitoring what they're doing, managing through email. That's not the way it goes. Also, address their needs immediately. Always address their needs immediately. It will make the distance not seem so long, so far. It means that you care enough that you're going to drop what you're doing if you have to and take care of their problems right then and there. Just do it. Because you know what? Don't ever forget this. You've got people looking for you to be there even when you cannot physically be there. And that, my friends, is a sign of a great leader. So if you're an up-and-coming leader, manager, department head, you're just starting out, avoid them at all costs. Please, let somebody with more experience handle them for a while. But when you feel up to it and you're ready and you've got some experience and you're dealing with people on a one-to-one, face-to-face, daily basis, and now you're ready to take that next step, maybe ask to support one or two locations that are field sites, field remote sites, and that's it. That's all you're responsible for. And then increase it and increase it. Next thing you know, you're going to be the director in charge of all field operations. And that's a great title to have. But because you've got the experience, you've got the wisdom, and you can handle the situations as they occur. Everybody, thank you for your time. My name is David Guerra. This has been episode number 59 of the Walking Leader podcast. And we're continuing the Bad Leaders Aren't series. And this is number 14 in the series, the bad leader who manages remotely. Until next time, I thank you for stopping by. Please visit my website, daveguerra.com, daveguerra.com. Follow me on Twitter at Dave Guerra, all one word, daveguerra. I look forward to hearing from you. Drop me an email. Let me know what you think of the podcast. Let me know what you think of the series. And most of all, just stop by and say, hey, I heard you on the podcast. Thanks a lot, and we'll talk to you soon. Have a good one.